The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 11, text number 17, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hathikari, recorded on November 18th, 2007, in Timișoara, Romania.
So today, we are going to dive even deeper into that transcendental ocean of bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 11, text number 17.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Stripung prasangamai tadrik.
Stripung prasangamai tadrik.
Sarvatra trasam avaha.
Sarvatra trasam avaha.
Apishvaranam kim uta.
Apishvaranam kim uta.
Gram yasya griha cetasa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The founder of Charya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life in this material world? Purport. As explained above, when the feelings of love and transcendental bliss from the spiritual world are pervertedly reflected in this material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. As long as men feel attracted to women in this material world, and women feel attracted to men, the bondage of repeated birth and death will continue. But in the spiritual world, where there is no fear of birth and death, such feelings of separation are the cause of transcendental bliss. In the absolute realm, there are varieties of feeling, but all of them are of the same quality of transcendental bliss. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha. So, this material world is called a place of bhaya. It is a fearful place. Everybody is always scared. Yes. And the spiritual world, it is a place of abhaya, fearlessness. Therefore, in the spiritual world, The feelings of attraction between men and women are completely pure and transcendental. There is no exploitative tinge. There are no inhibitions. Even they feel great love and attraction like this. It is all completely pure in the service of Krishna. But in this material world, which is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world, it is not like that. When you see an object reflected, just like if you go to a lake, and there is a tree on the bank of that lake, and you look at the reflection of the tree in the lake, the top of the tree is on the bottom of the reflection, and the bottom of the tree is on the top of the reflection. It is completely inverted, you see. So, what is the most wonderful thing in the spiritual world? That attraction between male and female in the spiritual world is the most wonderful thing, actually. Radha and Krishna, you see. It is the most celebrated, wonderful thing, the attraction between male and female. But in this material world, that same attraction between male and female, it is the most degraded thing. It is the hridaya granti, the heart not in the heart. It is the most dangerous aspect of this material energy, is that attraction between male and female. Yan maitinadi griya medhi sukham mitu cham. It is described in the Bhagavatam that maitun, that sexual pleasure, you see. Yan maitinadi. Adi means it is considered number one pleasure. Even Freud has confirmed. You see. Number one pleasure. Number one thing in this material world. Everyone is simply thinking sex, 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 sex. That is the... But Bhagavatam says, hitucham, it is insignificant. So, how can we possibly advance in Krishna consciousness if we are attracted to the opposite sex? Is it possible we can advance? Because that attraction is the most degrading thing, you see. So what to do? Practically everyone in the material world is very attracted to the opposite sex. What will we do? How will we ever get free from the cycle of birth and death? Vishayavanivartante nirahara-shadehina vasavarsham-rasopyashvavidam-param-drishvanivartate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment. No, that's the other verse. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remain, but experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So, there is higher taste, actually, Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada even one time said, How we are dancing together in the kirtan, men and women, you see. But as brother and sister, Prabhupada said. And they dance, they have the sexual dance, you see, in material society. Simply to stimulate the passion, more and more lusty, 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 you see. But here we are also dancing, men and women, together. But it's a completely different mood. It is for Krishna. As family members, we are all dancing together to please Krishna. So it is men and it is male and female, and it is dancing. But the mentality is completely different. This sort of dancing carries us to Vaikuntha, the transcendental realm. where there is no fear. But still, we have to be very careful. This is why Prabhupada is given that men are like butter and women are like fire. So if they come too close together, the butter melts. So we have to be very careful. We have to keep the butter in a cool place. Therefore it is recommended, brahmachari, tapasa brahmacharena shamena cha chagyena. And this is recommended in Vedic culture. So, how many types of brahmacharis are there in Vedic culture? Do you know there are four types of brahmacharis? There are brahmachari brahmacharis. There are grihastha brahmacharis. There are vanaprastha brahmacharis. And there are sannyas brahmacharis. And there's a fifth kind also, brahmacharini brahmachari. You see? So, at every step in Vedic culture, brahmachari, 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 at every step, you see. Even if I'm a married man, I'm living alone with a woman, and I have full facility for sex pleasure, but still, brahmachari, you see. Prabhupada says, brahmachari means he only has sex for producing Krishna conscious children. That's all. Finished. Nothing else. Sometimes in ISKCON now, there's a new idea. I think something filtered in from the New Agers to ISKCON. That if you're married, it's okay. You know? In fact, I was giving Diksha recently, last year. No, last spring. No, last year, yeah. One girl was becoming my disciple. I said, what are the four regulators meant for? She said, no sex outside of marriage. I immediately stopped the yajna. No, that's wrong. No sex except for procreation. And even that is highly regulated. Not that I'm procreating so I can have sex as much as I want, because I'm, no. Once in a month, on the most fertile day, just after the menstrual cycle, once in a month, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, husband and wife both, and after getting blessings from the spiritual master, that yes, now you can try to have children. It's not something you just carried away by lust. No, you've got the blessings of the spiritual master, that now you are blessed to have try to have children. You've chanted 50 rounds. You waited for the most fertile day of the month when you're most likely to make the girl pregnant, you see, in this way. And I remember when I was a brahmachari years ago in Miami, one householder couple, they told me, yes, we wanted to have some children, so we were chanting, we chanted our 50 rounds, and so we could, you know, try to have a child. And after we chanted the 50 rounds, we were so high on the mantra, we said, let's wait till next month. There's too much nectar. Actually, I didn't know about this Krishna consciousness movement, but I had a friend in the karmi world. His name was Patrick. And he had met he had been introduced to Hare Krishna mantra. And But he had his vision of sex was very nice. He said sex is body nasty. It is a body. He called it a body nasty. That was a term that he had coined or he picked up somewhere. Actually, very nice way of understanding. Just like passing stool, passing urine, it's a nasty bodily function. Sex is the same thing, actually. Simply a nasty bodily function. So if we remember that, you see, then when Cupid starts shooting those little arrows into our hearts, you know, we can say, wait a minute, you know, go somewhere else for their arrows, little fella. I don't need them. I don't need your arrows in my heart. Cupid's, you know, flying around everywhere with his quiver full of arrows, looking for soft hearts to shoot his arrows into you. You see. So you have to be well protected, you see, by chanting good rounds, by reading the books, by having good sadhana, staying clean, bathing regularly, all these things, tilak, you see. Wearing Vaishnava dress also is very helpful. Do everything you can to get that chase for Krishna bhakti. And then when Cupid comes by, you go, well, I'm not going to mess with this one. No sense wasting my arrows on him or her, you see. This one's fixed in Krishna consciousness. But if somehow Cupid gets through, then what will you do? Will you just give up and say, okay, I surrender Cupid? What will you do? Actually, we have our special name for Krishna. Madan Mohan. Madan is Cupid. And Mohan means attractive. So if you find that somehow Cupid got through your defense system and you've gotten a heart full of arrows and you're just going crazy, what do you do? You just give in? No. That's when you invoke the holy name Madan Mohan. You invoke the holy name of Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, and you beg Madan Mohan to attract the little fellow Cupid some away from you. You see, Krishna has the power to attract Cupid away from your heart. So you just beg Krishna, my dear Madan, will you please save me from Cupid's arrows now? Somehow he's shot me full of arrows and my heart is bleeding with lusty feelings, so please now attract this Cupid away from me. And Krishna will be very happy to do that. Because Krishna wants us back in his transcendental kingdom. He doesn't want us to be victims of Cupid here in this material world. So, how do you actually become peaceful? I mean, it's difficult sometimes for neophyte devotees who are very attracted to the opposite sex when they join the movement. And it's the most powerful attraction. How does your mind become peaceful? We keep thinking, well, if I can't have this, if I can't indulge in my, you know, if I can't indulge in this feeling of attraction, how will I ever be happy in Krishna consciousness? It's a mayic thought that I really have to have this male-female enjoyment, otherwise how I can be happy. See, that what that means is we're still trying to be Krishna. That male-female enjoyment, that's for Radha Krishna, it's not for us, actually. Our desire to have it is a desire to imitate Krishna. That's the very desire that got us here to begin with. You see, but how can I ever be happy if I give up the male-female attraction? We get bewildered how I could ever be happy. But the fact is, and I have proof. I have evidence of this point. Not speculation, okay? Who is the supreme enjoyer? Krishna. Mm-hmm. Nobody can enjoy on his level, you see. He's the supreme connoisseur. He has the best of everything. Nobody can compete with his enjoyment. But yet, Krishna is absolutely amazed because he sees there is one person who is enjoying more than him. Do you know who that is? Srimati Radharani. He's enjoying more than him. He's saying, what is this? I'm being served by this woman, by this girl, and she's tasting more pleasure in serving me than I am tasting being served by her. And Krishna is, he's not one to be outdone by anyone, even by Radharani, you see. So Krishna gets an idea. This Gaurangi, this beautiful golden-limbed girl, she's enjoying more than me. So I will take that same mood of Radharani. I'm not going to miss out on that nectar. So he sees Gaurangi and he manifests himself as Gauranga. Taste the same, to have the same complexion as Radharani, and to have the same mood as Radharani. So in this way, he comes as Gauranga. In other words, to be the devotee of God, It is more pleasurable than to be God Himself. God Himself decides to do a very outrageous thing from the material perspective. He becomes a Hare Krishna. God decided to become a Hare Krishna. Tilak, you know, neck beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He even has a bhakta name. We have bhakta so-and-so, you know, bhakta bhogan. He had a bhakta name too. You know that name? Bhakta avatar. He has a bhakta name, bhakta avatar, from the bhakta program. Oh, here's bhakta avatar. So, the point is, he became sannyasi. He had the prettiest girlfriend in all the three worlds. I mean, beyond the three worlds. In all of existence, he had the prettiest, most beautiful, sweetest girlfriend you could ever imagine. But he decided to get even more pleasure by becoming a sannyasi. You see? So if God Himself gives up Radharani to become a sannyasi, you can imagine how much pleasure there must be in being renounced from this male-female pleasure. How much nectar there must be that the supreme couple separated. Actually, they amalgamated. That is the combination of Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, if you really want to get free from sex desire, it's very easy. You just take up the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the Sankirtan movement. You simply have to become a spiritual revolutionary in the Chaitanya Sampradaya. You see? That is how you can be always tasting the bliss at every minute. You become very, very enthusiastic to spread Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls of this world. And you will experience a pleasure millions and billions of times more enjoyable than that maitun, that sexual pleasure. You see? We see this in the great acharyas. You know that prayer by Jamunacharya? Anyone of you know that prayer by Jamunacharya? Yadavadi mamacheta krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadamanun yacharantuma sit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukushushtu nishtivanam cha. Ever since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving ever-increasing oceans of nectar in that service. Whenever by chance Cupid gets in there and I have some thought of sex pleasure, immediately my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. You see? That's his mood. He doesn't want to be brought down to some mundane, you know, male and female dog level. Actually, it's very gross, the sex attraction. One time we were on a Rath Yatra in Mathura, you know, just near Vrindavan. Nice Rath Yatra. And you know, in India, the cows and the bulls, they're just out there in the streets. So there was one bull, he became attracted to a cow. And it was very public, you know, his bodily features. And he was attracted. It was just embarrassing. I was practically blushing just to have seen it. It was so embarrassing to see a bull, a lusty bull. It was very, very embarrassing. So that's the embarrassing position of the human being also. Becomes carried away by lusty feelings. It's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing like anything. Do you know that bird? Maybe you have seen the pictures in your zoo, I don't know. The ostrich bird. You've seen the big, tall ostrich bird with the scaly legs, you see. You've seen. So just imagine when the male ostrich, when he sees the female ostrich, And his heart goes pitter-patter. See the scaly legs, you know, and the funny nose and the stupid-looking feathers. And he becomes, Juliet, Juliet. She's going, Romeo, Romeo. You see? How ridiculous it is. But we think when we're attracted, we see that girl or we see that boy, we think, oh, she's so beautiful. But actually, it's just like the male and female ostrich, you know. It's just like the male and female ostrich. We're carried away. Prabhupada actually said that the husband, even his wife looks like a dog. He will think, oh, she's so beautiful. You see? This is the influence of Maya. Actually, we're all ugly ducklings on this planet Earth. Every one of us are ugly. We're just ugly, grotesque, actually. All of us are grotesque looking, really. You compare to the beautiful denizens of heaven, and they are grotesque compared to the Vaikunthavadis, the Vaikunthavasis. And the Vaikunthavasis, they're nothing compared to the Brijavasis, you see. If you will, that's where the real standard of beauty is there, the Brijavasis. So anyway, we really have to understand the philosophy. And we have to understand that we don't miss out on anything if we take up the spirit of brahmachari, either as a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi, or a brahmacharini, you see. Doesn't matter where we are in the Vedic culture. If we adopt this mood of brahmachari, then we become very, 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 very happy. Then we can actually dive deeply, 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 deeply into the nectar of the name, you see. And then, of course, if we can be married, that is all right. But we have to, one may be married or brahmachari as they like. There is freedom of choice. It is not that, oh, you're in Maya if you're married. No. Actually, who was Krishna's guru? He was a householder. Sometimes in ISKCON, I don't know how it happened, but people think, well, unless you're a sannyasi, you know, you have to be a sannyasi to be a guru. But where is that stated in scripture? Actually, it is stated in the Prabhupada mentions in this purport. According to the Pancharatra, only householder Brahmins can be spiritual masters, nobody else. In other words, sannyasis cannot be gurus, according to the Pancharatra. But then Prabhupada explains that because Lord Chaitanya has introduced this principle, kiva vipra kiva nashi shudra kene noe, jay krishna tattva veita sai guru hoi. Because Lord Chaitanya has introduced this principle, therefore sannyasis also can be gurus. Because the actual qualification is simply, does he know the science of Krishna? So, there is nothing wrong. One can be brahmachari or be married man. Either way. But one must always be in the mood of a brahmachari, you see. That one must have. The mood of brahmachari must be there for everyone. Otherwise, we will not go back to Godhead. Only brahmacharis go back to Godhead, nobody else. Do you know that? You have to be brahmachari to go back to Godhead. Did you ever hear that? You have to be brahmachari to go back to Godhead. And whatever ashram you're in, you have to have a brahmachari mood. Brahmachari means free from lusty desire. As long as you have lusty desire, Krishna will fulfill. All right. You're feeling lusty? Okay. Here. Take another birth in the material world. Gratify your material life. Go ahead. Until you get it out of your system. But why should we suffer unnecessarily? Let's get it out of our system right now, just by hearing. You see? The first class person learns by hearing. The second class person, he learns by what they call in English the school of hard knocks. You see, where you get smashed again and again, and you finally learn your lesson, you see. It's better just to hear, learn by hearing. You see, the parents tell the children, my dear children, do not stick your hand in the fire, it will burn. So the intelligent children, they go, this burning must be some bad thing. I will not stick my hand in the fire. But the less intelligent child, he will think, I don't know, do my parents really know what they're talking about? Let me try. You see? So why get burned? You see? Instead of being burned, become learned. You see? Instead of being burned, become learned. Hear from Guru, hear from the scriptures, hear from the sadhus, and do the needful. That's all. Beat down the mind. Give up this attraction and simply become attracted to Krishna, supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. Just by becoming attracted to Krishna, you can become completely free from every other form of attraction, because everything that exists is only attractive because why? Because it is the energy of Krishna. Otherwise, nothing in this material world can have any attraction at all. Even sex pleasure cannot be attractive, save and except for the fact that it is part of the energy of Krishna. Nothing is attractive except because it's Krishna's energy. That's all. So why take something which is somewhere removed? Go back to the original source of all attraction, and there you will find complete, total, unbelievable, inconceivable satisfaction. So in this way we have to understand, and in this way we can easily become liberated from all of these abominations of this material existence, which keep us entangled like anything, like slaves of the modes of nature. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
You said that we should become enthusiastic in serving Krishna.
Yes.
But how can we become if we don't feel any pleasure, if it's a big altar to chant around?
I have a bit difficulty chanting our rounds.
Well, you must arrange your life in such a way that you don't have difficulty in chanting our rounds.
But there is no pleasure for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all right. Pleasure doesn't have to be there in the beginning. When you're sick, when you take the medicine, is the medicine pleasurable or is it bitter? Because you know that I'm in a suffering condition, therefore you take the medicine, even though sometimes the medicine is so bitter you think it's worse than the sickness. You see what I'm saying? So now you may find the Hare Krishna mantra to be so bitter it's worse than the material world. Sometimes it seems that way. Better I just watch some mundane movies than chant my rounds, because it's so painful for me to chant Hare Krishna right now. I just want to, go to a movie or something. Or have some sex or whatever, So you have to act on knowledge. It's like the doctor gives the prescription, take this medicine. But you know it's going to relieve you from the pain. So you just have to, that's why having a guru is a very important thing. You have a person that you can put complete faith and trust in, this person. It's like to get sick, we go to a doctor, and we just surrender to the doctor. We put our full faith in him that he's going to cure us, we do whatever he says. So you need to have a spiritual master, you see. That's how the process works. Mundaka Upanishad says you must have a spiritual master. So you have to find out that person that you can put yourself completely under his direction for your recovery from the material nature. And then whatever instructions he gives you, you just fully embrace those orders as your very life and soul. And by doing that, you can quickly recover, you see. As long as we remain aloof from having a spiritual master, Prabhupada compares it to a street dog in India. You're in a very difficult position. But when you actually accept that, yes, I will now accept this person as my spiritual master, I will take shelter of this person, I'll qualify to get initiated by him, etc., etc. When you make your decision that yes, I'm sick, I will seek out a bona fide doctor now that I can fully put myself forever as his servant and just let him take control of my eternal existence. You see? By doing that, then you'll find you very quickly you'll be able to get a taste for the new. This is the principle of Vedic culture. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Adho Gaurashvayam, the very first step on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The first step, first thing you need to do, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So does that answer your question? Okay. Now do that. Do that. So, and you will get a very good, wonderful taste for the name if you follow those instructions I've given you.
Yes, but it's very hard sometimes because the mind is more powerful than intelligence.
Yes, the mind is very powerful. Therefore, you have to beat that rascal. Every morning you take shoes and you must beat that rascal mind one at a time. And then in the evening you must give your shoes a break and go to the broom closet. Take a big, thick broom and beat the hell out of that. Beat the living crud out of that rascal mind in the evening before you take rest, you see. This is not my prescription. This is the prescription of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It is very heavy prescription. The people who have mental problems, we have a very strong remedy. You see, the shoes and the broom. And what that means is basically you have to curb down your tendency to think that you know everything. You see, you have to realize that you were a fool. Lord Chaitanya was told by his Guru Maharaj that what is the use for you to study Vedanta? You're simply a fool. Lord Chaitanya was told he was a fool. So Mataji, what is your position? If Lord Chaitanya is chastised for being a fool, what is your position? You are a million times a fool, you see. A zillion times fool, that is your position. So therefore you must put yourself strictly under the orders of Guru, you see, and that will save you. Any other questions? Yeah.
So in the beginning, like, it's normal not to have immediately the taste for chanting. But if this goes on for a long period of time, I mean, without taste for chanting, do we have to look for offenses or something? Because it said that offenses usually diminish, take away the taste for chanting.
Asking that in the beginning we do not get the taste, but after sometimes even then we don't get the taste. Is that due to the offenses and we have to check our offenses?
Yeah, if the taste is not coming, it means you're not following the doctor's orders. You're not strictly following the doctor's orders. That's what it means. If you strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then it's guaranteed you get the result. If you're not getting the result, it means you have to see how am I deviating from the orders that I received from the spiritual master. That's what you have to analyze. And if you can't figure it out, then you should directly communicate with the spiritual master. Have a, you know, write him or have a darshan with him. So he can really take a close look at what you're doing, what's going on inside your head, and really find out how exactly is it that you're deviating so he can get you back on track.
Yeah, also, it is said that real taste comes only after anartha nibriti. So real taste.
Yes, ruchi comes after anartha. So therefore, you will experience taste. There is some overlap in these stages. You will experience taste according to the degree that you are free from your anartas. If you are 10% free from your anartas, then you will have 10% taste. When you're 50% free from anartas, you'll have 50% taste. In this way. So you do not taste experience pure ruchi or full taste until you completely get free from the anartha. So you have to see, what am I anartha? Because that's what's getting in the way. The name is pure, but your anarthas are not allowing you to experience it. It's hard for us, the reality is, Mataji, it's very difficult for us to see our own anarthas. Why? Because we're proud. We don't like to admit it, but hey, you know, we're really puffed up. We really are. So it's very, that's why we need the devotee association, that's why we need a spiritual master, because they, devotees and guru, will help us to see what's wrong with us, you see. What are the anarthas? It's very difficult to see our own anarthas. It's practically impossible to figure out our own anarthas. Because the pride is so strong in each of us. Therefore, we need devotee association. We need guru. Because they will help us to see what we're doing wrong. See what our anarthas are. Well, being aware that you have them isn't enough. You have to actually get rid of them. To know that you're diseased, that's very good. That's called conscious incompetence. But you have to come to the next stage, which is conscious competence. You have to give up your... You have to know your anarthas, that's very good. Now you've progressed. Before, you had them and you didn't even know what they were. That was a hopeless position. Now there's some hope because you know what your anarthas are. You have kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, and matsarya. You know that you're lusty. You know that you're angry. You know that you're greedy. You know that you're illusion. You know that you're a mad woman. And you know that you're full of envy, just like this. I saw somebody, yes, your shirt over here, your jacket. Envy. He's wearing a jacket called envy. You see your jacket says envy on it. You see, he's wearing envy. So we're all wearing envy. Now, he's not the only one. We're all wearing around envy, which is the worst of them all. Envy is the worst of the anarthas. Envy and then madness, illusion, greed, lust and anger. That's what your problem is. You have these enemies sitting in your heart. So to know they're there, that's very good. But now you have to find out how to get rid of them. You see? You have to see how to get rid of those rascals. And then when you're actually successfully getting rid of them, that's when the taste will come. So if you haven't figured out how to conquer anger, how to conquer lust, how to conquer greed, how to conquer illusion, how to conquer madness and envy, then you need help of Guru and Vaishnavas and Shastra. You need the help. Figure out how to get these things out of your heart. Because otherwise you'll never get taste for the name. You can go on chanting for millions of lifetimes. If you have these enemies still camped out in your heart, you will never get the taste for the name. That's a fact. You'll never get a taste for the name. So you have to see how to kick out these invaders who have conquered your heart. These six enemies who have come in and taken over everything. Okay?
Which stage of chanting is this? Namavasa? Hmm? Which stage of chanting is this? This is Namavasa.
Namavasa, that is the... Namavasa means that your offenses are now being cleared. That is called the clearing stage. There are three stages of chanting. Offensive stage, clearing stage, and the offenseless stage. Actually, as soon as we begin sincerely trying to clear off the offenses, that is the clearing stage. And the clearing stage is a long road. It begins from being 1% clear, to being 2% clear, to being 3% clear. It's only when you get 100% clear, then you attain the offenseless stage. So in the beginning, we are 99% polluted. In the beginning, we're 100% polluted, you see. And then we know, well, I have to take up this process. I have to purify myself. I need a spiritual master. I need to take the association of devotees. I need to read Prabhupada's books. I need to do sadhana. So you make this decision in your life. And then you, at that point, you're actually entering into the clearing stage. Because you're now you're only 99% lusty, angry, greedy, illusion, mad, and envious. You're only 99%. And then gradually you clear out more of the dirt. You get to 98% contaminated, 97% contaminated. And finally it just dwindles down, down, down. To you're only 1% contaminated. And then you become completely pure. So you have to be very dedicated to the process of freeing yourself from all these anarthas. You have to patiently progress through that clearing stage until it becomes completely, totally clear. And then you become an offenseless chanter. You achieve Shuddha Nam. Does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions? All right then. Yes?
Experience of hard knocks, they can know. But those who have not had the experience of hard knocks, they wouldn't know.
Yes, so you want to experience more hard knocks? Come to my room, I will beat you with a broom. Yes, but by engaging in sense gratification, that is the school of hard knocks, but you become further implicated in karma chakra by doing that. You have to take the reaction for all of those. You have to take the hard knocks. That's the point. Who wants the hard knocks? It's better just to act on the basis of knowledge.
There are three types. So one learns by experience, one learns by beating, and then one learns by intelligent hearing.
Yeah, well, experience is another form of beating, you see. Because the experience means you're being beaten by the material nature. That's what it means. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Even Newton, he taught that principle, the law of motion. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The Bible also teaches, as you sow, so you reap. So our law of karma, it is taught in the Bible and also by Newton. It is a universal principle. So why get karmic reactions? Why not just immediately hear from the spiritual master and take to bhakti yoga? That's intelligent, you see. Why do you keep wanting to make your comfortable nest here in this material world? You've been kicked a million times for your attempt to do that. Why not? Don't you realize you're just going to get kicked some more by the material nature? If you put yourself completely at the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then you will get a nest which is infinitely more comfortable than any nest you can make for yourself in this material world. That's a fact. Desire for comfortableness, that is it. But you have to be intelligent and know how to get a nest that is unlimitedly comfortable. You see, that is called human life, brahmana, one who actually understands the principle. Just like, previously I was working job in this material world. Of course, it was in Krishna consciousness, but still. To make some comfortable arrangement for griha, you know, getting in the car or going to work. But now, despite completely depending on Krishna, we're living with greater comfort and security. And we did that. Everywhere, such wonderful, loving hospitality, nice prasadam, nice facilities. Everything nice. Despite depending completely on Krishna. Not being so concerned about eating and sleeping. Being more concerned to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, we find that we have better eating and sleeping. Prabhupada gave himself an example. He said, I had some children, I gave them up, but now I have hundreds of children who are far more affectionate than my children, you see. So the point is, if you, even all those things that you may want, if you simply take shelter of Krishna, you will get far beyond what you could even have wanted or felt you needed. That's the point. Anything else? Yes.
You said that in order to get rid of the anarthas, we have to chant, to give our life to the spiritual master, to study the shastras. And even so, from time to time we hear about a devotee whom, after many years of practicing and having a guru, he's no longer in the movement.
Right. So you're wondering, how is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah. That means they weren't following the instruction. Just like, how many of you, who knows how to bake a cake? You know how to bake a cake? You have to follow, you have to get everything. You get all the ingredients, you get the oven, you get the recipe. But still, if there's some, if you do something wrong, the cake won't rise. It just stays flat in the bottom of the pan. You might, you know, maybe you forget the baking powder, maybe the oven isn't the right temperature. You know. You can have every single facility, but if one thing is omitted, it just takes one thing, the baking powder, if you leave it out. So just because somebody appears to have all the facility, it means they left out the baking powders. You know, even though they've been practicing for many years, they were doing something wrong. This process works if you work the process. They weren't working the process properly. There was something they were doing wrong, and that's why they're gone. I can guarantee you. Anybody who follows this process exactly as it is given in Srila Prabhupada's books will come to the point where they taste Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati samaksaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Anyone who follows these instructions carefully will come to the Brahma-bhuta stage, and from there they will achieve pure devotional service. Guaranteed. Anyone who has left, they deviated in some way. Absolutely guarantee. They didn't strictly follow the process. They introduced some deviation into their practice, and that's what killed them. A slight deviation doesn't show up for some time. Just like, imagine two rails on the train track, you see. They run perfectly parallel to each other for hundreds of miles, isn't it? Now, if one rail is 0.0000 degree off, that won't show up. You can't see it. You look at it, just 0.00001% deviation. You can't even see it. Even if you take a fine instrument, you might miss it. But over 100 miles, 200 miles, 1,000 miles, if that slight deviation is maintained, then what happens? Is it? Understand the, in terms of geometry. Even as, how many study geometry? Yeah. If there's even a slight deviation in the beginning, you can't even see it, but that point zero, zero. So that's the case of that devotee. They had a deviation going on for all those years. But it was so slight it didn't show up until many years of practice. And then because it was always there, over the course of time it gradually became more and more visible, and finally, gone. Like the old folk song, long gone, like the the turkey through the corn. Finished. As we say, bloop. When you, if somebody falls off a ship and they hit the ocean, what sound? Bloop. They blooped. They fell off the ISKCON ship, the Chaitanya ship, into the ocean of birth and death once again. So, yes?
How can we forgive those who offended us?
By being very kind. And it's to your great advantage to do so. You know why? If you hold grudges, that will fill your heart with smudges. Smudge means a dirt. A smudge means some, a glob of dirt. If you hold grudges against people, you're doing nothing but hurting yourself. If you forgive others, then you're keeping your own pathway back to home, back to Godhead, free of all obstructions. So it's in our own self-interest to be very forgiving of all the offenses that have been committed against us.
Also, sometimes you don't feel a grudge, but you try to protect yourself.
Oh, that's all right. No, you can know that this devotee has a tendency to be offensive, so you kind of steer around him a little bit, you know, on your pathway. Actually, Prabhupada said that, you know. There are devotees in three different... There's devotees in different modes. And there's certain devotees who are actually, you know, very kanishta mentality. They commit so many offenses. You can... Prabhupada says to keep a distance from those devotees. Respect them from a distance. If there are sometimes devotees who are in a very low mode of nature... They are devotees, but they don't really know how to behave properly, so we shouldn't mix so closely with such devotees. Protect ourselves from them. We have to make sure that's not us. That's very important. By always being respectful to all the Vaishnavas. And tolerant also. Yes, they often do. That's very common for Kanishtha's adhikaris to deviate. It's like so many people have left ISKCON. You know. This is the mainstream of Lord Chaitanya's movement, Prabhupada's movement. This is the full-blown manifestation of Chaitanya's movement. But some devotees, they leave ISKCON and they go where else for these. These side branches that are diseased to varying degrees. They're Kanishtha mentality people. They're interested in their own agenda. You see. If somebody's not humble, they have a desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. They may go somewhere else where they feel they can get more recognition than they do in ISKCON. But that's stupid, actually. It's actually less intelligence, because if you stay in ISKCON and you stick to the principles given by Prabhupada without deviation, you try to cultivate genuine humility, you will go down in history for being one of the greatest revolutionaries in the history of the universe. Anybody who sticks with Prabhupada very tightly with Prabhupada's movement, they will go down in history for being one of the greatest spiritual revolutionaries in the history of the universe. So anybody who leaves ISKCON for name and fame is a fool, because actually they'll just give them a bad name. Anyone who is a traitor to Prabhupada, you see, by going away, it just gives them a bad name. For some cheap so-called recognition, people go away sometimes. You know. But they're stupid. They're really stupid. I know there's some similarity between Spanish and Romanian, In Spanish, the word is stupido. Is that also in Romanian?
Stupid.
Oh, stupid is a... Oh, and oh, really? Stupid is a Romanian word also.
Yeah. They are a mixture of English, Italian, and all that. Hmm? They are a mixture of English, Italian, and Russian, and all mixture.
Oh, Oh, English. But Romanian is a mix?
Yeah. Italian.
Between the Latin influence and the Russian influence. It's a kind of a mix of those influences.
But Latin is predominant.
Latin is predominant.
Basically Latin.
Anything else? Everyone's satisfied now. We've gone way over time, but you know, it's only come here twice a year, so I'd probably be forgiven for my offense. It's an important topic. I mean, we're trying to give you the information that you can utilize to, you know, become completely enlivened until I come back again next time. So we want to give you a strong dose of the medicine, that's the point.
When will be that next time?
When are we coming back? Well, we were scheduled to be back in Europe already in April and May. When we will specifically be coming here, we have to work out those details. It'll be April or May, we'll be coming back again. Yeah, we want to, when you come back, we hope that you'll have at least, you know, you can double the number of devotees between now and then. You can preach like anything and double the number of devotees between now and next April, May. That's my request. Please double your number between now and then. Let's make it, I mean, let's get serious about revolutionizing this country, you know. There's no reason for Romania to remain a tamasic country. As your temple president says, the people here are tamasic for the most part. There's no reason for that. If we will introduce the Krishna consciousness movement to all of these people, they will come to the transcendental platform. So kindly do that. Become very, very compassionate upon your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your prime minister, everyone. Become very compassionate upon them and make all of them into devotees. That's my request.
First we make ourselves.
Hmm? Oh yeah, well you're a Romanian also, so you got to make yourself Krishna conscious too. The Bhakti program begins here. That's right. Your own heart. That's where it begins. You want to spread Krishna consciousness? Well, you got a good place to start right here. Your own heart. Okay then, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.